Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stockwatch podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am very happy to tell you guys that I am joined today by the great Kemi. How are you doing, Kemi?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been so long.
Yes, it's been too long. Kemi, you were on the Winners at War podcast that I did as well.
I know. It seems like forever ago that literally the last season of Survivor was on. So happy to be back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a Survivor takes such a long break, and then we don't get to chat about Survivor anymore.
I know. And I honestly can't stop talking about Survivor. Like, they announced season 42 yesterday, and I texted every one of my friends who don't even watch Survivor. So,
well, how are you liking the season so far?
See, I feel like the cast is amazing. I'm sorry.
Nice. I feel like the cast is a dog that is very adorable.
Very adorable, very needy. So he hears me talking to someone else and he's like, why aren't you talking to me? But I'm loving the season so far. I would have to say that because I binged it, I went to a premiere party, so I was kind of distracted from watching the actual premiere. And then I missed 2 weeks. So then I went and like binged it all. I have to say I'm loving it. I think the gameplay this season is, no matter what anyone says, I really, really like it. And I feel like they have a lot of strong players. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've said this a lot, but I think the cast is just so good. And I think we're seeing that every single episode, that we're getting new sort of angles on who these people are every time. Like, I feel like we got a totally new perspective on Deshaun this episode, yeah. Which is interesting. And I'm really excited to see where things go moving forward, because I feel like this is something I see a lot in Big Brother, where there are, you know, there's a majority alliance essentially, but there are two people in contention for sort of controlling it, being in the prime position of it, and sort of using other players and other votes as a proxy war. And it felt like that's what was happening between Shan and Deshaun to some degree. I'm curious to see where it goes.
You said you see that a lot in what?
In Big Brother.
What's that?
It's this show. I don't know if it's still on the air or anything.
Who knows? But yeah, I honestly love when there's a little bit of tension within alliances, because I feel like that's when you really see the true character. No matter what they try to push with the edit, you see the true character of someone just kind of pushing through. Like, is someone going to like position themselves as the alpha, or are they going to try and take like a sneakier route and be like, okay, you can have whatever you want, and then be like a little sniper from the side? So we'll see. I could see Shan being a sniper from the side, which I love, because to me, that is like the most amazing gameplay. You don't have to be like super aggressive about like who you don't like all the time.
Well, she said she wanted to be an assassin.
And I don't want to be a villain, but I do want to be an assassin.
I love her. I love her. And I love that this season, they're kind of showing everyone's backgrounds. Like, she was in a gang and now she's a pastor. Okay.
Yeah. It's super interesting. And I love that we've been able to get so much from her history, because she has such an interesting history from, you know, talking about having to choose between her parents growing up and then her relationship with her mom over time. You know, everything she talked about. And then she, you know, she's talking about being a pastor now, which I guess some people are like, what do you mean you do this with your, but it's like, she's playing Survivor. Let's be chill.
Yeah. I mean, different walks of life bring different aspects out of people, but we're still trying to win, you know, $1 million at the end of the day. Oh my God. But can I say, I randomly love Nasir. Like, I feel every episode he's fighting for his life. It's like, I feel like he is the one, at least from what they show, he goes all out in all of the challenges, whether it's food or immunity. Like, he's like killing himself out there, and I love it.
Yes, and he loves the merge color.
It smells really good, and I love the color.
Oh my, I just love him. He's just so like, what you see is what you get, and I love that.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into the episode. And then after we talk through the episode, we will rate the players based on how well we think they're doing in the game. We started the episode with Xander kind of recapping what he had done the night before with the, you know, the idol theft attempt, and then the bluff and the double bluff and all of it. And he talks about how he does feel a little bit weird about the whole situation, where Deshaun revealed that Evie had told Deshaun about Xander's idol and his extra vote, and said that they were going to vote him out next. No, how much I can trust Evie at this point. And Evie's trying to play off the information like, oh, well, that I just figured that they would already know all that stuff. It doesn't seem like it actually works all that well.
Yeah, you know, Evie is very lucky that she won immunity. Xander, you know, I really respect the move that Xander made at Tribal. He was really getting in the way of some of my faves. So I was like, I mean, even though last episode, Shan, who's one of my faves, got in the way of herself as well as Liana. Like, why are you running your mouth about her advantage in front of Tiffany?
This is a great point to bring up, because Tiffany, I felt like, dumped a ton of information in her exit interviews. One of the things that she talked about is that she felt like, or she said, you know, again, this is according to one person, and you never know how that information is going to be portrayed. But according to Tiffany, when they sent Liana off to Advantage Island, they had told Liana, hey, give Shan the extra vote, give it to her. When Liana went to Advantage Island and Shan ended up giving her the advantage, she was like, why did Liana not, so basically Liana told Shan, hey, I'm really tight with my tribe, you're giving me the advantage, cool. And so, like, the way that Tiffany portrays it, she doesn't really blame Shan for revealing the information, because Tiffany never even told Shan to not tell the rest of them that she had gotten the thing, because she didn't tell her that she wasn't supposed to have gotten the thing. And that's kind of apparently how that went about.
I don't know if I believe that. Because Shan and Liana got very, very close. And they even said they got close in 3 hours, closer than they've gotten to their entire tribe the entire time that they've been there. So I don't know. I think it was just a mistake on Tiffany's, or a mistake on Shan's part. And then, of course, you know, hindsight bias on Tiffany's part. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, either way, we're going to hear a lot from Evie in this early portion of the episode as well. Evie, last week I talked about how Evie's relationships have, like, each individual one has been damaged between Liana and then Deshaun and even Xander with the information that that Deshaun put out there, which means that Evie is on a relationship recovery mission here. Just get some feedback.
Sorry, no. I don't know how to turn the iPhone messages off of my computer. I've been trying to do it for like a year. I don't know how to do it.
Sorry. It's all right. I thought it was like I didn't realize it was a chime.
Yeah.
Evie needs to repair these relationships. They attempt to do so with Xander. Didn't seem to work super well. They're also going to attempt to talk to Liana, and they lament the fact that it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to get the relationship with Liana back in place because it's so fractured. And they talk about we were supposed to be the turtles. We were supposed to be the underdogs making things work, and it's not working. And it seems as though every attempt here results in failure.
Yeah, I mean, when Evie compared her situation to like being in high school and like there's one table to sit at and like no one wants you to be there, but what else are you supposed to do? I was like, as much as like Evie's not my favorite, Lord knows I related to that so much. So I was like, I kind of feel bad for her.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'm always interested to see that, like, I do feel like we keep getting Evie's perspective on these things. And it makes me feel like, they may have, some hope in this game, even though it's looking not great at the moment.
They definitely set her up to, you could see the fact that she was going to win immunity just from like the first 10 minutes. Like, they were kind of setting it up to that underdog triumph, edit. Like, it was clear that she was going to win immunity, but yeah.
Yeah, especially with how like locked in it seemed that Evie was the target and that Evie was going to be the one voted out. It wasn't super surprising, I think, that they ended up winning there. So Yasa's plan, the Yasa 3, is essentially, and apparently, according to Tiffany, it wasn't a plan. It was genuinely how things were going. Is essentially to split up and say, we're not working together anymore. We are free agents. We'll take whoever will work with us. Deshaun though says, no, this is not going to happen. I want them all gone. They wrote my name down. I'm done with them. I'm not going to let this work. He's not into it.
Deshaun has the best facial expression. The best, like, what do they call them on Survivor? In ITMs? Like, the best confessionals. The best, like, he's honestly, after last night, I don't really know. But he was one of my favorites until about halfway through last night's episode. But, yeah, he's just so funny. He's so funny. I think that it's natural to distrust people. Once they've like shown that, I mean, Survivor, like if he would have gotten voted out, then what? So, you know, for me, I would have definitely felt the same way as him. Like, there's no reason to place trust in people when I have the numbers and you've already burned me once.
Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with him on this. Like, if I'm him, there's no way I want to let Yasa get back in with anybody. Like, they voted for him. That's an indication to him that either they don't vibe with him very well on a personal level, or they see him as a huge threat strategically. Either way, they are people that thought to write his name down over somebody like Danny, over somebody like Shan. He's the one that they thought was the biggest person to take out. And those are people you do not want in the game. People you want on the jury, but not in the game.
Especially when there are other people who you know have advantages and you decided to like target me, who, you know, has no ammo in my gun, but you know that Leanne has an advantage. You know that Shan has, you know, an advantage. You know that Nasir, like, but you decide to go after me. Like, at the very least, I'm the lowest on the totem pole, and I don't like that.
Yeah. Now, apparently, again, according to Tiffany, she felt like Deshaun was not very nice to her in the aftermath of the tribal where they attempted to vote him out, that he really harped on about how they wrote his name down. And she felt like he was really making like a huge deal of it, much more so than we saw in the episodes. Now, I can see that might be the case, especially again with some of the other arguments that Deshaun is going to get into over the course of the episode. Again, though, you have to take what each person says as they come out of the game with a grain of salt. It's only their own perspective. I think it is an indication that perhaps Deshaun's social game here is faltering a little bit.
I mean, I definitely believe Tiffany. I'm sure he did make a big deal out of it because it's a big deal. Like, you wrote my name down. I could have gone home. Like, he would have gone home if Sydney had not done her, I forget what it's called, like taking her chance in the, is it called a chance in the dark? Shot in the dark. Yeah. He could have very easily have gone home. So I believe Tiffany because she's probably right. And it's true. It is a big deal. Like, I would have been harping on it too, because who knows what's going to happen at the next tribal. If you guys are all gutting after me at the last tribal, it's kind of like, well, we've already burned the bridge with him, so we might as well stay on that track. So that's how I would be thinking if I was him. Like, why would you just like not come after me again? Why would you burn a bridge with someone else when you've already burned the bridge with me?
So. Yeah, like, of all the people you could have voted for in the last tribal, you chose me, which means I'm the last person on your list of like people that you'd prefer to work with, probably. Again, according to Tiffany, this whole Yasa, we're rogue free agents now, it was actually true that basically she got back from tribal the night of tribal. She gave Xander the idol and extra vote back. And then he basically didn't speak to her again, according to her. And they were, they were completely separate. He went off to work on, his own things. And she was kind of left floundering, trying to find anything to latch on to. So even though Deshaun and Danny expressed some doubt that this was real and that that they were maybe playing up the angle that they weren't really getting along, it appears that they genuinely were not getting along.
I mean, I don't blame them. So, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we get to the reward challenge, and Jeff goes, "All right, guys, here we go. This is how Survivor works. I'm going to hide this advantage under the bench." And it just goes to show that when you think you're out, when you're on the bottom, there's always hope. I'm like, oh, okay. They're going to do like a schoolyard pick. They're gonna, and then the person that gets left out of the pick is gonna have an opportunity for an advantage. No, we're just gonna draw rocks again. How does this guarantee that the person on the bottom is the one with the opportunity to get the advantage?
I don't know, but it's crazy to me that, what is her name? Erica, it's crazy to me that she picks the like wrong rock again.
Yeah. And it was basically the same teams with Erica out in the middle. And then Xander chimes in. He says, "Hey, hold on. I don't think that's fair. I will allow Erica to take my place. I will sit out." And at the time it seemed like an amazing call because now he's going to get the advantage, except he doesn't find it. But
he does not look hard enough. Like, he's literally looking like sure, he's looking on the bench, but it looks like he's looking out into the ocean. Like, he's looking like on the platform, which if you know to look at all, it's because you saw what happened with Michaela. Yeah. So at least look along the bench. So it was just like, But, you know, I was hoping that he didn't find it because I knew that he did that on purpose. Like, he specifically, it wasn't out of the goodness of his heart because Erica had just gotten cast away and didn't get to eat, even though he was trying to make it seem like it was a good social play, yes. But I knew it was because he was going to be looking for an advantage. I knew it. So when he didn't find it, I was like, ah, the world is back.
It's funny you say that. So in her exit interviews, Tiffany said that she found this to be very performative, especially considering the fact that Xander is paleo. And so he wouldn't even want to eat cheese.
Oh, he is.
Or whatever to begin with.
Where is he from? L.A.?
I don't know.
I mean, I could definitely see. I thought he would be vegan. So I thought that's why, like. He definitely has that whole, like one of my best friends asked me, she's like, so do you, she also watched Survivor. She's like, so do you like Xander? Because I know you love Tyler Crispin. And I'm like, they are kind of similar, aren't they? Like, they really are. So I'm not surprised that he has some sort of like diet.
I can't believe he wouldn't want the
grilled cheese back at camp.
The grilled cheese back at camp.
Honestly, Jeff makes these meals sound so good though, because it definitely made me look up like hashtag grilled cheese on Instagram while they were doing the challenge.
I'm going to make fun of how Jeff says grilled cheese all night long, but I'm not going to lie and say that it didn't make me want grilled cheese.
When's the last time you had a grilled cheese? Like,
it's been a while.
And they're so good.
They are.
Ovi from my season made these like grilled cheese sandwiches in the house, and I was like, and I hadn't had grilled cheese before that since I was like a child, and I'm like, I don't want to eat this, but let me be nice, and like, I don't want to eat a slice of cheese melted between white bread. I don't even eat white bread. And then I tasted it and I was like, what did you do to this? He like soaked the bread in something and then like put it on the pan and fried it, then baked it. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. I need him to like come up with a recipe. So when I saw that was their reward, I was like, I wonder if Ovi was in the kitchen for this one.
Now I need to know what to ask Ovi to cook me whenever I
need to
meet up with him. He's known for his cookies. I didn't know he had some grilled cheese up his sleeve.
He has some grilled cheese up his sleeve and then some like roast beef melt. Ovi's pretty good in the kitchen.
Oh boy.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So going back to Xander as well, on that bench, I was watching this live on Twitch and I was with you. I thought he was looking for this thing. He was kind of like looking up in the air, and he was kind of like giving a glance next to him. But by the end of it, when he didn't find it, I was convinced, like, how could he have genuinely been looking and not have looked under the bench?
Yeah.
Because if he had even glanced under the bench, he would have seen it. It was very, you could see it from like, 20 feet out with the, you know, far away camera angle. It was very obvious. If he had looked at all under the bench, he would have seen it. And if you're looking at all, that's like the only place to look. It's the only place it could be. It's not going to be like underwater.
And I feel like maybe he was worried about being caught, but it's like, you were making it obvious anyways. Like it's, I feel like if I was on that bench, I would have been like stretching while like feeling under the bench and like, you know, like taking a like, while I'm looking under the bench, like just trying to like, if you're going to make it obvious that you're looking, you better find it. Because if I'm doing the challenge and I'm like not one of the last people and I'm like huffing and puffing, trying to catch my breath while they're working on the puzzle, I look over at you and you're like this, he has an advantage. Let's vote him out. Like that's immediately what I'm saying to everyone. He found it. Let's vote him out.
Yeah, I mean, he had his shoes there. I was thinking, like, just like, be, like, lead, like, bend over and do something with your shoes, and then just do have like a quick glance under the bench. But yeah, I feel like they must have just taken shots of him just kind of glancing around, like not actually looking. I can't imagine that he was actually, because again, I feel like if he had been, that's the only place to look, and that must have just been like what he was doing to pass the time, was just like looking around.
I wonder if he's a super fan or if he is like a casual watcher or a recruit. I can't imagine him being a recruit.
I don't remember. I think most of them were fans to some degree. I'm sure that he is a big fan, but like once you get into like how much of a fan, that's definitely, there's a lot of difference there.
I need to know if he was actually looking. Maybe he'll lie about it now that he's out, but he doesn't seem like a liar, so I can't wait to find out, like, were you actually looking for an advantage or were you just like, do you have scoliosis? And you're like, just stretching your back.
Hopefully somebody asks and if he has an extra interview. All right. So Jeff tells us all about the
grilled cheese back in camp.
That's for the winners. And then the losers get
smell of grilled cheese back at camp being eaten by somebody else.
Jeff is so mean sometimes.
By somebody else. And then when Xander chose to sit out, he said,
gave up grilled cheese.
How do you give up grilled cheese?
You can tell this is one of Jeff's like favorite foods. Like he probably eats grilled cheese like in his day-to-day life. Because he's like, yeah, this is some good shit for you to be giving it up.
Yeah. And then during the challenge, he says,
working hard for that grilled cheese.
He gave them all the sound bites to work with.
And then after the challenge, he said,
waiting for you back at camp, grilled cheese.
Okay. Jeff, I have to know if he tried the grilled cheese himself. Like, did it live up to the hype? I have to know.
I don't know, but the first thing that is said after they get to the reward, Erica has a confessional and she's like, I was so excited to see the food. I was so excited for the chips.
Is she like
after everything about the grilled cheese, she only cared about the chips.
But you know what? I get that because they probably don't have anything that crunches out there. And if you're a texture person, big deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call. So obviously, before they get to the chips and the grilled
grilled cheese,
Evie is going to just dominate the puzzle. They knew it ahead of time. They practiced it at home, and just like without anybody even coming close, it's over in seconds.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to her, like, preparing to be on the show, like, and what she prepared for was an actual competition. Like, shout out to her. Shout out to her. I know a lot of people practice making fire before they go on the show, but I think, you know, practicing popular puzzles, and I don't even think that's a popular puzzle. But yeah, good for her.
I feel like this was not necessarily the moment to be that proud of it. Like, I wonder if perhaps the better call would have been to do it a little slower and then not say afterward, like, yeah, I knew that when I studied it. On one hand, I think that would, when Shan talks about, I want to target Evie, she cites the puzzle as one of the main points of like, this is why we have to target them. Like, just dominated that puzzle. On the other hand, though, Evie did just have a tribal council where they were pretty overshadowed by Xander's move and by like Tiffany holding the idol and then not playing it on Evie, kind of made Evie look a little bit powerless in the game. So getting a little bit of sort of like, hey, no, I'm a player and I know what I'm doing is not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but definitely did not help prevent them from being targeted in this moment, which is probably the more pressing concern.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I feel like if it was me in the game and I had like Evie's situation, I would have saved that bragging about the fact that I practiced this for confessional and for final tribal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's something you need to say like during the game, because like you said, it could get you targeted and you could always just talk about your moves like once you make it to the end. Like there's no reason to, you know, start talking about it now.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so they get back to camp, unfortunately, all Shan got was the
smell of grilled cheese back at camp being eaten by somebody else.
Poor Shan.
And she was not happy about it. We had this weird scene where we see Shan, Liana, and Xander all crying together, but like I think we missed like the inciting incident of the crying, like Xander is all, his eyes are red. Like he had been crying. He's like, I'm just sad that you guys are sad. And Liana and Shan are both like, it seems like at the tail end of their crying, talking about like, don't cry. You're going to make me cry. But they're not happy. They're not happy that they don't have the grilled cheese.
I already know what you're about to bring up. So I'm like itching for you.
So Shan says she wants Evie out. Evie's dangerous. Shan pitches it to Nasir and Xander. And Liana tells us very, very quickly that she's wanted Xander out for so long, but now she's considering working with Xander. And in her mind, she's thinking about this, and this kind of correlates to what she was talking about last episode as well, where she was like, this is going to be my time, when she was going to use the idol steal, to be like a legendary player like I like. She's again kind of saying my decision to not go after Xander now is what all the greats do. They're flexible. And to me, I'm getting a sense that this is mostly coming from Shan, that like Liana's concerns, Liana's desires have kind of been co-opted by what Shan wants, and that Shan has been very effective at getting Liana to agree with what, with the direction in the game that Shan has been going.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Shan has a very like dominant personality, but in a very kind of palatable way.
Mm-hmm.
Like she kind of reminds me of Tiffany Russo, but not as like, not as much, you know, like, not too much, but like, I mean, honestly, exactly what Deshaun was saying, like, she has like a one track mind. Like she has like the puzzle put together. And if you have a piece that might fit, but it looks a little different, she, you know, she already has her piece that fits and it looks perfectly. So she like, I hear you, but I'm not listening sort of mindset. So I agree. Like, I think that especially because they did get so close so quickly and Shan is a lot older than Liana, I think it's, I don't want to say that it's easy for her to kind of like force her opinions and like her gameplay on her, but I think Shan has the ability to do it in a way that's happening.
Tiffany's exit interviews, she talks a lot about how she felt like she had been trying for a very long time, for essentially like 2 weeks, to get Liana to stop obsessing her word over Xander. And then come the merge, all of a sudden she's not voting for Xander. And I think the answer to this is probably that Shan is just a lot more effective at accomplishing that goal. However, Shan is not effective at stopping Ricard from trying some papaya that Nasir found.
This because I have thoughts.
Yes, they get back from their
grilled cheese,
and Ricard finds the papaya. And he bends down, and when I first watched this, I was like, okay, easy mistake to make. He wasn't thinking. He grabbed a piece of papaya, he ate it, and then afterward, they were upset with him. And then he got defensive and that was the mistake. However, on the rewatch, I was paying attention. And before he even grabs the papaya, Shan does say, please don't. And he still does it.
Yeah. Now, I am 100% in Shan's camp in this. Because something very similar happened to me a few years ago when I was at Deep Creek with my friends. One of my friends went off. It was like 20 of us. And one of my friends went off and like had this four-star meal in Deep Creek of all places, which there's nothing around there. So I don't know if anyone here is from Maryland, but there's nothing in Deep Creek. Had this like steak and potatoes meal, blah, blah, blah. Didn't invite the rest of us. Just went with like whoever she was dating at the time, had this delicious meal house. I'm fine. I'm a pizza lover. It's cool. They get back and I swear to God, like out of the peripheral of my, like just sitting there, I see her hand reaching for the pizza. And I was like, I immediately grabbed her. I'm like, you just ate. Like, so I completely understand where Shan's coming from. Cause it's like, they're starving. They didn't get the merge fee. You are eating the papaya. Like, it's just rude. Like, it's just so inconsiderate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was on of Shan's side, essentially, even before I did the rewatch and saw that she warned him ahead of time. I was light on Ricard because it's like, again, maybe an easy mistake. If he's not thinking... you know, it's easy to not realize that you might be rude in the moment. But then I was like, after the fact, she's told you you'd been rude. She feels upset. You should be acknowledging her feelings. Whether or not you think that, you know, what you did was that big of a deal. It was a big deal to her. But she did tell him right as he was reaching for it, like, please don't do that. And he was trying to laugh it off. She's like,
I'm laughing with you right now. I love that.
And instead of apologizing to people about it, which is just like, oh man, like this does not need to be a thing, Ricard. You know, like in terms of playing a social game, I don't think it's like the best move from Shan to be making a big deal of something like this. But in terms of like, you know, a human level, like her own feelings, I think she's perfectly feelings. And I feel like this is, it's kind of where it's like, I feel like Shan is coming from a place that's a little bit more justifiable at times. Like she's not always perfect in how she interacts with others and sometimes rubs them the wrong way. And we're going to get into that as the episode goes on. But she still maintains those social relationships, whereas Ricard seems to not be able to recover as well from these social mistakes, essentially. And this tension between him and Shan continues to build. And I'm very curious about like who Ricard feels like he has beyond Shan. And if the episodes, because sometimes they'll really play these things up, yeah, this was definitely a wild situation to end the episode.
I bestie relationship kind of just chip away. Like we first saw it with the extra vote situation and now we're seeing it with the papaya gate. So I just feel like something else is going to happen. Something else is going to happen where Ricard probably does something that Shan doesn't like, because Shan to me seems like someone who doesn't really let her emotions just be at the forefront, or she won't do anything that she knows is going to piss someone off or that might piss someone off. Whereas Ricard, I like Ricard, but he seems to have more of like a cavalier attitude towards things. Like for him to even like kind of see was upset afterwards, like, oh, I got yelled at, like, And just knowing that Danny is in like a sort of alliance with Shan, like obviously he doesn't know that, but like we, the viewers know that. I could just see like something else happening and they might not show it, but Danny might just like casually mention it to Shan and if brought up is an issue for me. Also, oh my God, is that Yoda in your background?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. So thank you for noticing. They go to the immunity challenge, and Jeff has a proposition for them.
Grilled cheese back at camp.
No, it's not that. This time it's 3 days worth of rice. And if enough people sit out of the challenge, he will give them rice for 3 days, but he wants them to negotiate. And they did not seem prepared to negotiate. He was like, come on, guys, negotiate with me. They're like, what do you want from us? No, you're supposed to do it first. Come on.
There's Angelina when we need her.
Right. So this negotiation is all over the place. First of all, I feel like, maybe because of Jeff's urging, I felt like the, Shan like makes a mistake here by, offering up numbers before even checking with the rest of them to see who's willing to sit out. Like I feel like first you have a huddle and you go like, okay, how many people do we have that are willing to sit out? That's our number. Right. But instead she's like, well, what about two? Three? And Jeff is like, seven, five, done. But only Shan and Nasir sit out of the challenge. And then Xander does something that is definitely a strain during the outcome of the episode. But Xander, as one of the people that seems like he could be the most in danger, at the very least that he might need to burn his idol, decides, hey, Jeff, what if we said four and it's me and one other person steps up with me? And Jeff says, you know what? Sure. And Xander steps up, and then Ricard steps up. And just like that, Xander is sitting out of the challenge that he might need. What did you think about this move?
Sometimes I look at Xander and like, I think it might just be like his body language. I'm wondering if he's like famished out there and like, he's just not like thinking straight.
I'm sure they all are.
Yeah, but I feel like there's like this hollowness when I look at him, like not like an airhead or anything, like not like that, but like, just like, it's like, he seems like very like kind of hippie-ish. It's like, you know what? You only live once. Maybe I'll sit out of the challenge if it's for the benefit of everyone.
Yeah, I feel like thinking about where Xander stands, and I feel like we haven't really heard this from him, but it seemed to me like after the theatrics of the previous tribal council and finding out that he didn't really have Evie in the way that he might have thought he did, and then he probably never thought he had Tiffany, all that was like, and again, according to Tiffany, he barely talked to her after that. He just went full on like, I'm just going to suck up. I'm just going to fully come over here. I'm going to talk to Shan. I'm going to talk to Ricard, and I'm going to talk to Danny and them. And I'm just going to be like, I am yours. I am a complete free agent. Whatever you guys want, I will do. If you guys tell me I'm good, I trust you. I'm willing to give up my food. I'm willing to give up my immunity because I'm a team player and I'm with you guys. And if that it worked based on, again, the results, but I still don't know what the plan was going in. But ultimately Xander decides to sit out of this challenge. I felt like it was an interesting move. I felt at first, I thought he might be trying to just like bluff it essentially and be like, I'm willing to step up if one more person is also willing to step up, and then be like, man, nobody else, huh? And then like, you know, the whole tribe would be mad at like anybody else that wasn't willing to step up.
Right.
But that's not really worth the risk of somebody actually then stepping up and then not being able to play immunity. He may have also felt like he had no chance of winning this one, which is possible, but it only went for 4 minutes. So I feel like most people had a shot here.
Women who typically win this.
Remember this exact challenge, how often they've played it. But I was trying to think.
I feel like Aubrey won this one, right? She either won this one or something very, very similar.
It's possible. Women tend to do better at balance challenges. And I do feel like this one had a lot to do with balance.
Oh my God. You know, me and my best friend were saying, like, when it was down to Evie and Heather, my best friend was like, Heather looks like she does yoga every single day. She's got this in the bag. I'm like, she probably does. Oh my God, I almost fell.
Yeah. So either way, you know, we get to the challenge. Jeff says it lasts barely 4 minutes. And I in for about 3 minutes. So, only a minute was cut out of it. We almost saw it in real time, winning a much needed immunity. They say, man, just pinch me, I guess. And then Jeff actually pinches them.
Jeff, you know, I wonder what quarantine did to Jeff. He seems right this season. Yeah, his hair is longer. He seems very, like, I don't know. Jeff is a little different this season. So,
all right, I guess I'll pinch
you. Yeah, like, okay.
Has anybody ever done that? But like, oh, pinch me. I must be dreaming. Okay.
It kind of gives me, what was the Survivor contestant who, like, remember the girl who, like, it was very much giving that. Like, you don't really see Jeff, like, coming into contact with contestants all the time. Like sometimes, maybe a pat on the back, a big bear hug with like your butt poked out, but not like actual, like intentional contact. That's more than just casual. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, there you go. So Evie has immunity and that means the plan has to shift. We hear from Shan and Liana that they want Till and for Tiffany to be the one to be voted out. Shan is going to run around and get everyone on board. We hear from Nasir, who says that he agrees with the plan, and he specifically says he trusts Shan and Ricard. Now, I'm trying to read into what this means. It may not mean anything, but this to me seemed to imply that he may have some amount of loyalty toward Shan and Ricard, Danny and Deshaun, that he may be tipping toward the Shan and Ricard end of things away from Danny and Deshaun, which may be the reason that Danny and Deshaun are later going to pitch that maybe Nasir should leave. And that's speculation because I still have no idea otherwise why Danny and Deshaun would want Nasir out as they start pitching.
Well, so Nasir went to check on them when they were getting the water. That kind of thing would have sat with me. So maybe it just like stuck with them and they're like, well, if we're going to get someone out, maybe the one who was like checking on us, doing when we went out of our way to, yes, they were looking for an idol, but like when we went out of our way to be the ones like taking on the labor of it all and he's checking on us. So I feel like maybe that just sat, that's why it's like, well, here's an opportunity to get him out. Do they know he has an idol?
Yes, they all know he has an idol. And according to Sydney, there was a plan to potentially take out Nasir in the previous tribal, but he said he was going to play his idol. And so they all felt like they couldn't. So their mediation of that, of like, maybe Nasir now feels comfortable and we can use this opportunity to take him out. But I guess in my mind, it still doesn't make sense why Danny and they're out more than Xander or Tiffany, you know, given the fact that Xander and Tiffany actively took a shot at Deshaun very recently. And Deshaun was in a confessional saying, I want all three of them gone as soon as possible. And was apparently at camp making a big deal of the fact that they wrote his name down. Right. So, I'm still kind of, I feel like I'm missing information there, but my best guess is that maybe he feels like not only is Nasir somebody that has maybe like kind of gone against me in the past, but also Nasir seems to be drifting toward Shan, and Shan seems very against sending Nasir out. If Shan decides that she wants to make a power play and she is able to pull in Nasir and maybe Erica, and you know, she's got Ricard and Liana, all of a sudden, me, who just lost my Beth and Danny, I'm powerless.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And I mean, from what we've seen, Deshaun does not like the fact that, like, I mean, she's turning into his nut. Yeah, she's the other kind of alpha in their alliance.
So Danny pitches this Nasir plan to Shan, but Shan isn't into it. She says Xander is more dangerous. I really thought he was going to say no to the Nasir plan. He agreed with it, but Shan continued to shut it down, which sketched Deshaun out. who said, I don't like this. I don't like that she is immediately shutting this down. Doesn't seem to be entertaining the idea of taking Nasir out. That's you know, setting off my, I'm up later. And he talks about how he felt like he was being talked over, and that he wasn't being heard by Shannon. They're going to have a conversation about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it even got to that point where she kind of had to diffuse the situation with him. I mean, against this, but I just feel like unless something has the potential to actually change in a game like this, like why even rock the boat when everyone's on the same page and you, yes, may not have gotten your word in and she may be getting her way, but like, at this point, do you realistically think that you're going to change everyone's mind? Like, why even, like, just wait it out? Like, no need to cause waves when there are no waves to begin with. And you already know how Shan's personality is. Like, I feel like it would be a little bit different if it was, like, Liana or Danny or someone who's less, like, emotionally, like, aggressive than Shan. Like, it's like both of them are very emotionally aggressive. So it's like if she's already getting her way and everyone's already agreed with it, I would have just left it really impact you too much.
Sean, right now, is that, you know, basically on Luvu, he was the power. That I think Danny probably deferred to him most of the time. I mean, he was running that tribe and he had basically no pushback. And then he gets to the merge. And his initial plan has to go down the drain and he's in a position where he's having to do something he didn't want to do already. And then he's hearing that he's going to get votes on him when he probably thought that Danny was going to be a bigger target in front of him. Now all of a sudden he's being targeted. And then he's forced to vote out his closest ally other than Danny in Sydney. And in the next vote, now all of a sudden, you know, him and Danny are discussing ideas and Shan, who came from a tribe of two people, is running the show, is saying, no, we can't do that, where he's used to being in that position and he should be in that position given that he went into the merge with six people on his tribe. But instead, Shan has all this power. And I feel like that's probably putting him in a position where, in addition to all of the hunger, is causing him to, break down in frustration. And he's, I think, probably contending with the fact that he doesn't have as much power as he used to and as he wanted to in this position, and he's trying to figure out how to maneuver from there.
It is interesting to me that Danny isn't a bigger target than he actually is. Like, he's a former pro football player, and I distinctly remember when they had a pro basketball player on at one point. I forget what his name was, but I think he recently passed away. They had a former like professional basketball player, and that was like a huge thing. Like, he already has money. He does not need it. Like, let's get him out. So I'm wondering like why with Danny, no one's having that same sort of.
Maybe I don't know that he was a professional football player. I think they only know that he was, that he played football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, the plan is brought to Xander hey, the options are Nasir and Tiffany. We're going to split the votes between Nasir and Tiffany to flush Nasir's idol and vote out Tiffany. But when Nasir finds out about this, he says, I don't want to be the alternate option. Why don't you say Heather's name instead of my name? So Shan agrees and changes the pretend plan with Xander to Heather and Tiffany, which sketches Xander out, and he says, my betrayedar is going off. And now I've got to run around and find the error in this code that's driving me up a wall here. I was like, I didn't realize Xander was a coder. Is that what he does? I don't even know.
I thought it was very much van life, but I guess not. Maybe he is like, he's coming for your job, Taryn.
He's an app developer.
Oh.
That's his job. And his hometown is Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. Currently lives in Chicago.
Would have never guessed.
There you go.
He loves them. they love a curly haired like surfer dude. So I'm surprised he's not like he has the curly hair, but he's not like the surfer genre of all of that. So surprise.
The Betrayedar is going off. He talks to Tiffany and she's also sketched out. And so she's going to start running around and trying to, as she says, she's willing to work with anybody that will talk to her. Doesn't seem to be working. And then Heather finds out that she's now the new alternate plan, fake plan. And she's not cool with that. And all of this chaos is set to go off as they head to Tribal. Mm-hmm. So, at Tribal, there's not a lot that happens prior to, the liveness. Other than Danny saying he doesn't believe that Yasa is not really working together, which apparently they really weren't. But then Jeff is like, okay, it's time to vote. And then Heather starts whispering.
Heather was doing a lot. Like, Heather was doing entirely too much. Like, she should have really just sat there. Like, I have no... Did she honestly think she had a chance of going home? Like, why would they take out Heather? For what?
I mean, she certainly made it possible that she had a chance to go home given what she ended up doing.
Yeah, this definitely put her like in the hot seat. Yeah. Opinion. If she had just sat there and just gone to vote, like she probably had her name written down.
Yeah. So Heather tells Tiffany, just sit here, be calm, and trust me. Tiffany in her exit interview said, the second Heather told her to sit there and be calm, she knew I'm getting up and talking to people ASAP. There's no way I'm trusting Heather with this. So Heather, what we saw is that Heather goes to Erica, says, I have a new plan. She says, I want Tiffany, Evie, and Liana to Nasir, which ultimately means she's trying to put the votes onto Nasir and send Nasir out. My guess on why she's trying to flip it to Nasir is that she knows that it was Nasir who suggested her name as the alternative option, and feels like Nasir is somebody that she wants out at this point. That's my best guess, that she's not only trying to keep her name out of the alternate option pool, but she's also trying to strike at the person who put her name there in the first place. That's my best guess, considering we've still almost nothing from Heather in terms of where she's at strategically.
I'm just wondering why she thought she had that kind of pull with Liana specifically.
Yeah, that was interesting that she named Liana, because obviously getting Tiffany and Evie makes sense. I also thought it was interesting that she went to Erica. I didn't know if they were close, but apparently they seem to be. Erica was the person she went to. And if she had been able to pull both Erica, Tiffany, and Evie, even just those four votes could have done something. Ultimately, there are six votes to vote out Tiffany, and Erica and Heather were two of them. So that she could have at least potentially tied the vote with a 4-4. If they had been able to get Xander, they would have had the votes. Period. But I don't know if they were willing to do that without the support of Liana. We're also going to see very quickly that they're going to be talking with Deshaun, who seems to be shutting it down. As she's voting Evie, if they'll vote Nasir, Ricard is telling Xander, I think you should play your idol just in case.
And Xander agrees.
Then Erica tells Liana that Heather is trying to push it to Nasir. Liana tells Shan, and then Shan suggests, why don't we just flip it on Heather? In the meantime, Deshaun again tells Heather, he says, I support you, Heather, but I have to stick with my original vote because I haven't had a chance to think about it. And that seems to be what shuts Heather down and gets Heather and Erica back on board, and they end up both voting for Tiffany. Shan is then going to pitch to Nasir and Danny with Liana, Ricard, and Xander all there that they should flip on Heather because Heather's trying to flip on Nasir. Nasir finds out that Heather's trying to flip it on him, and he goes, oh no. And so they pull in Evie, Tiffany joins in as well. I love that from Tiffany that she didn't ask to be invited. I hate that when people are like too respectful at Live Tribal, like, no, just step into these groups. They all seem on board with voting for Heather. And you can even see as Shan pulls in Evie, Deshaun, who is still talking to Heather and Erica, is looking on like, no, yeah. He's not pleased. Deshaun also had a great reaction to Xander giving up his reward. Like,
oh yeah, Deshaun is the best fish. He's so funny.
Yeah. So they pull in Deshaun finally, and they ask him if he's down to vote out Heather. Everybody else is down, and Deshaun says, "I don't like it." And they're like, "Oh, you don't is like what?" And he's like, "Oh, it's fine. Let's do it. We're good. It's fine. It's okay." He sits down. He's like, "Thumbs up. Like we're fine." And Shan's like, "No." And she goes over and she talks to him. They have again this like very awkward and now public conversation between the two of them where she's like, "If you don't want to do it, then we don't want to do something that you don't want to do." And he's like, I don't like it. I already told you that, but we're doing it. It's fine." She says, "No, we're not doing it. We're not going to do it." And ultimately, clearly, they end up not doing it. She tells the group Deshaun is not down. And he's like, "No, I'm good. It doesn't matter." But again, they don't end up doing it. And Ricard tells Xander again, please, just play right. Please.
I mean, and then Xander like agrees to play his idol, but then doesn't, which he is holding on to that idol for dear life. I mean, respect, because he didn't need to play it either time and it worked out for him, but he's holding on to it like, you know, like his ticket off the Titanic, like, geez, let it go. Well, not let it go because it's working out for him, but like, I'm surprised he hasn't played it yet.
I am too. And this is where I get a little lost, right? So Tiffany is voted out. And when Tiffany is voted out, I thought this was interesting. Xander specifically looks back to Shan and Ricard. There are, you know, Liana sitting to his left. There are other people sitting to his left, that also voted for Tiffany, but he specifically looks back to his right to Liana or to Shan and Ricard and says, "Thank you guys." And Shan gives him a nod like they were the ones, like Shan in particular was the one that was like, "Hey, you're good. I'm going to make sure it's Tiffany." So on and so forth, which is weird because Ricard is also saying, "Please play your idol." I imagine that Ricard is probably going to play that off as like, "I was just worried that it wasn't going to go through." But I thought it was interesting that Xander specifically was thanking Shan, and Shan seemed to be taking credit for Xander staying with the little nod she gives him. I don't know if that has any deeper meaning, but it's worth noting that that, you know, Shan may have just picked up another piece on the board here,
which will not make Ricard happy because he already, like, I think maybe two or three episodes ago, like, expressed how all of the moves that he's made have been made like in conjunction with Shan, but then she's also made her own moves. So like, he doesn't have any like moves on the board that are just his own so far.
Yeah. So again, the votes here, there are six votes for Tiffany, Ricard, Shan, Erica, Liana, Deshaun, and Heather all vote for Tiffany. Xander votes for Nasir, which is very confusing. Nasir and Danny both vote for Xander. And then Evie and Tiffany both vote for Heather. Very confused all around at pretty much all of these. I have no idea why Xander voted Nasir. I have no idea why Evie and Tiffany voted Heather. I have no idea why the majority split the vote 6-2 in favor of Tiffany over Xander. I imagine that they were worried about a potential extra vote. Maybe they were worried that Xander, Evie, and Tiffany could band together with a rogue Heather and then also use an extra vote to make five votes somewhere. And so that's why they put six on Tiffany. But even then, they didn't need six. They could have put five. You know, like there's so many weird aspects to this vote. Why were two votes on Xander? Did Xander feel like he was voting for Nasir as part of a Nasir-Heather split? Did Evie and Tiffany vote for Heather, thinking they were part of a Heather-Nasir split? I don't know. There's so much information that we're missing about these votes.
Yeah, and I hope that they explain a little bit of it at least next episode, like when they get back to camp. But I feel like we'll never know.
Probably not. So that's pretty much how the episode goes down. A few points from Tiffany's interviews. She said that Liana's move to try to take Xander's idol was dumb, that she should have seen that he didn't have it, considering his poor performance, and that she was blinded by her obsession with getting Xander out, which caused her to not see Xander being so obvious. She was not very complimentary of Xander either, saying that it was her and Evie that planned the whole thing, that Xander basically almost screwed it up by being so obvious and by telling Danny ahead of time and by, like, you know, pulling the thing out. And she says that, again, after the tribal, Xander didn't really talk to her, and she felt very upset about that. She felt like it was, the plan going into tribal was genuinely to split the votes between herself and Xander. And then if Xander didn't play the idol, to vote Xander out. But then when Heather messed everything up, they somehow ended up pulling almost all of their votes off of Xander. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But who knows? She also did not seem to find any fault in Evie for spilling about Xander to Deshaun on Vantage Island. She says she didn't play her shot in the dark primarily because she forgot about it. And she still doesn't understand why Liana and Heather voted for her. She said she was always closest to Evie. When they voted out Voce, it was because she felt like Evie had control of Xander. That was why they voted that way. She reiterates that Danny was very pissed off about the hourglass twist. And she said that Shan was the person in power, but Deshaun managed to get his way by throwing a fit at tribal. And then the Xander is a paleo thing.
Yeah.
A lot of information.
She definitely, like, I'm wondering who she even likes now that all of that.
Okay. So, who was it that does the word association? I think it's Gordon Holmes says the word association. And I didn't keep track of the words that she used, but she was positive, in the words that she used about Evie, Danny, Erica, and Nasir. And she was negative about Heather, Xander, Liana. She said Shan was bossy, which felt mildly negative. Heather, she said was weird. Xander, she said was performative or something. Liana, she said was like clueless or something. Confused, maybe it might have been the term. And then Deshaun, she was not very high on. And then Ricard was also kind of negative. So she seems to be very, very positive about Evie. She says Evie is like her best friend that she made out there. So worth noting.
Interesting.
Yes. And then in the secret scene, they just named the merged tribe Vayakana, which is apparently the Fijian word for hungry. And Erica is the one that had that one prepared.
Interesting. I can't wait to see the rice run out and see how their attitudes change again, because I feel like Shan is going to be in a lot of, she's going to have some tension with, like, Ricard and Deshaun, obviously, but I wonder which one's going to bubble to the surface first. Like, I feel like it's going to be Ricard since she's closest with him, and she probably spends the most time with him, but, like, her, like, blow-ups with Deshaun are more, like, at the surface.
Yeah, so in the next time on preview, they really made it out to be like, oh, everyone's getting rubbed the wrong way by Shan. Look at all these arguments that are happening. But I did notice that most of the footage they showed was the black and white nighttime footage, which they only ever use for the post-tribal segment. So it seems to me like they're trying to mislead us that there's going to be like a little bit of a blow up after they get back from tribal, but there wasn't any like daytime after emotions, you know, were dialed down footage of actual like, oh, the things might get split up kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So that's what we have from the episode. Are we ready to rate these players?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely have some controversial opinions.
All right. Well, we're going to go from the lowest ratings to the highest ratings. That's that's going to be the order in which we do things. And I have a visual as well to help out people who will have trouble remembering who these people are. So the lowest rated person that I have is going to be none other than Heather herself here. Let's pull Heather up on the big screen. There we go. There's Heather. I last week gave her a 3 out of 10. And this week I've gone down to a 2 out of 10. Last week was the first time we had heard in X interviews that she was being called the goat, that she was being, you know, dragged along to the end, that nobody felt like she had a chance to win. And then in this episode, she very nearly got herself voted out for apparently no reason. I will say this with the caveat that like she's barely been in the show and I genuinely like have empathy for that. Like, I feel like that's, I feel very bad for her that she has not been in the show at all. And I feel bad that like I am judging her game so harshly when I know basically nothing about it. But given the information that we do have, this is the best that I can do. It's not great.
I'm going to give her a 3 because she seems like, you know, I can at least respect the fact that she tried at Tribal Council. Like, I can definitely see where she could probably have in her mind like, okay, well, I haven't done anything yet. Like, I have to at least like play the game somewhat, even if it went like completely south, like at least she tried. So I'll give her a 3.
All right. Well, the next person I have, and I've been pretty generous with the people that were voted out this up in the episodes. I feel like that's probably going to continue here. The next person I have is, Tiffany, who I gave a 4 to, I felt like, you know, overall, I don't feel like it was something like, it's not like Tiffany got herself voted out like Heather almost did. She kind of was put in a spot where like, if Evie hadn't won that immunity, she was probably fine. If Xander didn't have that idol, she was probably fine. And it was kind of just by default that she ended up being the target here because of the association with her tribe. Now at the same time, she wasn't able to make the inroads that some of the other Yasa members were, in particular Xander, who seemed to be better at integrating himself back with the other players at camp. Seemingly, again, I don't know exactly how much of that is real, but ultimately she's voted out here and you know, was not able to delay her fate any longer.
Yeah, I think I'll give her a 3 as well. You gave her a 4 or?
Yeah.
I'll give her a 3. Tiffany is definitely not my favorite. I think she's another person who just like, she kind of throws everything at the wall and just sees what sticks. And I don't think that this is the game for that. So 3 for me.
All right. Another person that I gave a 4 to is Erica. I still just know so little about her game. Is she tight with Heather? Is Heather her person? I don't know. Does she have a relationship with Ricard? We keep seeing them in scenes together, but we haven't heard them talk about each other or had seen any conversation between the two of them at all. I have no idea what her long-term plan is, why she's sticking with the majority. Doesn't seem like she's considered flipping at all yet. I just know very little, and she seems to be in a position where it's going to be very tough for her to win the game. So for those reasons, I'm still down at 4.
Yeah, I would definitely give her like a 1 just because she reminds me of my old roommate that I really, really disliked. But I'll give her a 4 too, especially because like I didn't think she was going to smash the hourglass. I really did not think so. So when she did, I was like, okay, respect. I can definitely respect that. So I'll give her a 4. But yeah, no, the only reason why like she had no shot of being my favorite this season or even in that category is because she reminded me of my old roommate who wanted me to like clean her tub for her or something. So yeah.
Clean her tub?
Yeah, she wanted to clean my tub. Like she wanted to use my tub whenever she wanted because she had a shower stall, but she didn't want to clean it herself, which means that I would have to clean it. And she's like, well, you could just leave it there and I'm not going to shower in a tub that someone was soaking in without cleaning it. Like that's kind of nasty. So yeah, it was a whole thing, but yes.
Do you think Erica is the kind of person that would make somebody clean her tub?
No, she seems very passive. So
yeah.
What did she say? She was a lamb turning into a lion.
Yes.
So unless she reaches that lion stage, which we haven't seen yet, I'm hoping to see it. I think she would clean her own tub, which
only lions would make somebody else clean their tub, I guess.
Exactly. And then they have to meet me, you know, the tiger. So
all right. So after Erica, I gave 1-5 this week. I was pretty low on Evie's position last week, but this week things are looking a little bit more up for them. I felt last week that they were the next person to be targeted and that they were in a very bad position, and that did come true. However, they won this immunity, and that's huge in a couple of ways. One is that again, winning that reward and the immunity in the way that they did was, I think, like a nice 1-2 punch to recover from that sort of like poor performance at the Tribal Council where they were left on the hook for a move that somebody else seemed to make. And I feel like the respect level for Evie is in a good place right now, where if they made it to the end, they'd probably win. However, still a big target. But winning this immunity meant that Tiffany goes home, and the split between Evie and Xander seems to be more and more visible and more like solid than ever before. And there are now, fights happening between Shan and Deshaun, between Nasir and Heather. There are a lot of cracks starting to form, and I imagine a lot of people starting to look at their end game. And is it worth making sure that you take Evie out this week? This round, when you can wait, a round or two and make your move first, there's a chance that they can get in here with some kind of new group. I feel like it might take one more tribal though, and that's where I think Evie's going to struggle. So I gave Evie a 5, but I do feel like there is a path here now where it was very difficult before. There's a couple options now.
I completely agree with everything that you said, but I would give Evie a 6. I think they definitely got a new lease on life just by winning this crucial immunity challenge. So I have to honestly respect that. And honestly, like the fact that Evie just has a positive vibe throughout all of this, whereas like literal papayas are making some people crumble, I have to respect it. So I would give them a 6.
Well, Evie did have some
grilled cheese back at camp.
Yeah, so I definitely have nothing to worry about. Nice and quiet.
All right. Well, I gave a lot of 6s out this week. The first of which is for Xander. Xander, I feel like, again, it's hard to know exactly how he survived. It seems as though, based on the edit, that he did genuinely manage to get in with enough people in the majority, like perhaps Shannon Ricard, maybe even Danny and Deshaun, who seemed to be pitching for Nasir over him. Enough so that they didn't even split the votes. They could have easily taken Xander out in a very safe way. They could have split the votes 4-4, four on Xander, four on Tiffany. If Xander doesn't play his idol, they could have re-voted him out of the game. And it would have been safe because he only had an extra vote. He only had one idol. So he could have used an idol and he could have used an extra vote, none of which would have mattered because he still only would have had four votes and he could have only idled one of the other four votes. It still would have been tied. They still could have re-voted him or Tiffany out of the game. But they didn't do that. For whatever reason, they decided they wanted to pile votes onto Tiffany and keep Xander safe. Now, they seemingly wanted to still have him burn his idol, considering what Ricard tried to pull off. But I think that if Xander was reading things in the way that I think he must have been reading things, the fact that Ricard was telling him to play the idol probably gave him the information he needed to know that he didn't need to play the idol, right?
Yeah, definitely. Especially since they're not close, from what it seems. Like, it's like, why would you be looking out for me? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. In this picture, I don't think I've ever seen this cast photo of Xander. Doesn't he kind of look like he could be related to Shailene Woodley? Like, maybe just a little bit. I don't know.
Need to look up who that is.
You never watched Secret Life of the American Teenager? She's also engaged to Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of
Yeah, I was just hearing about that the other day.
A lot of drama with that right now for obvious reasons, but yes. But I would also give Xander a 6. I think he made a really good move / tribal. But as far as like moves in the game and like positioning himself in the game, I do understand what you're saying. Like, as far as social game this episode, he's definitely like been like the you can have whatever you want, like I'm yours sort of role. But I don't necessarily, I don't know. I couldn't bring myself to rate him higher than a 6 just because he did end up, you know, doing such a good move / tribal. I feel like I just don't really know much about his game to begin with anyways. Like, I feel like we might need more confessionals from him because I feel like I know so much about Liana and Shan, and I don't really, like, to me it seems like he constantly like just does things without any real explanation for them. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't have played his idol the last two tribals. Like, I have no idea. I wish we had a confessional on that.
Yeah, I will continue to ask for more like post-tribal, even if it's in the next episode, just explanations. We got a recap of what happened last tribal at the beginning of this episode, but not a further explanation for like any of the decisions that were made. Like, why did he feel comfortable? I guess he kind of explains it in the moment in that tribal, but I would love to hear from Xander at the start of the next episode about Ricard telling him to play his idol and why did he decide not to. And I would love to hear from Deshaun and from Shan and from Heather about like what was going on, what the initial plan was, why it changed. It would be great, but I'm probably not gonna get all of that. So the thing I like about Xander's position right now is that being able to hold on to that idol means that he's in a spot where there's 11 players, there's now 10 players left in the game. And it's that majority group of 8 and him and Evie. We're now in a position where, yes, they can negate his idol with splitting the votes. However, as they get down to that 8, again, somebody's going to want to make a play, because it's not smart for everybody to get down to exactly 8. So somebody's going to want to make some kind of play. And if you're in the majority and you are in a good spot within the 8, then you know that somebody might want to make a play and you can't trust to split the votes because that provides them the opportunity to make that play. And if you're the person that's not in a good position in the 8, then you have the opportunity to make a play if they split the votes. And so now all of a sudden that idol is getting more and more painful for this big majority, not only because of all of that, but because Xander can just flat out use it to save himself for at least one round. And he is playing a game of just survive to the next opportunity, just survive to the next opportunity. He's absolutely somebody who, if he makes it to the end, I think he wins the game based on the performance in that prior tribal council. So he's definitely still in here with a shot, but it is going to be pretty difficult, I think, to get all the way there.
Yeah, and I think that might be like hitting the nail on the head of why I can't rate him higher. It's like, I feel like he doesn't really have a long-term strategy, and it doesn't seem like there's a path forward. So unless he can like give a confessional saying what his long-term strategy might be, like it's hard to not see him playing just week to week. Like we would have to like know that to like know what to watch for.
Yeah. Another person that I gave a 6 to is Ricard. Ricard, obviously, he's in a great position within this majority alliance, at least for the, I guess, medium term. It's the end game that I don't love for Ricard for a couple of reasons. One, if he plans to go to the end, you know, with Shan and Liana and, you know, Danny and Deshaun, who are all working together, if those four stay loyal to each other, that leaves him on the outs. He's not exactly in the core of this majority, or so it seems right now. Of course, that could change. But in addition to that, he's also not really, in my opinion, in a position to win once he gets to the end. His social game, we've seen all season long, or at least the way they've been portraying it, and I do think we've seen some examples, has not been great. And even though he has been a driver of the strategy, there are a lot of people like Deshaun and Shan, and even you could argue Liana or Danny, who I think can argue that they also were driving strategy while being a bit more likable at the same time. So I don't love any of that for Ricard. However, I do think that this new development with Shan and Deshaun kind of sabotaging their own social games can only be a good thing for Ricard on all of those levels. Like, strategically, it will help him break in at the end, and socially, it will help him potentially get some of those jury votes if he ends up sitting next to either one of them.
Yeah, I wonder who he, I also would give him a 6, but like, I wonder who he would win against at the end. Because if he is sitting next to Shan, like the social, like the way Shan's like aggressive personality, I could only see it becoming more, or not aggressive personality, but like her, she's very direct in the way that she kind of speaks to people. And sometimes that can be not as, in a game like Survivor, it's not as easy to kind of swallow as someone who bullshits you, you know? But Shan's a lot more likable than Ricard is. And I feel like it would be very difficult for him to differentiate his game moves from hers, whereas it wouldn't be difficult for her to do that. So I wonder who he would win next to. Like, I don't see him winning next to Shan. I don't see him winning next to Evie. Maybe next to Erica.
Yeah, I feel like his best shot is Heather, obviously. Yeah. Erica, maybe. They do seem to respect Erica and think that she's smart. So it depends on how she operates on her way down, I think. Like if Erica makes a big move and takes out Shan and that's why she's sitting with Ricard in the end, then I think she probably still beats him or could definitely still beat him. I also think, I think his most viable shot is given who he's working with as well, is maybe trying to get to the end with like Heather and maybe Liana. And maybe if he's the one that takes out Shan and brings Liana and Heather to the end, Liana, who kind of made a fool of herself at the last tribal, if she doesn't have any other moves on her resume and he does, I feel like that could give him the boost he needs to potentially beat Liana. And I feel like that's probably the most viable way, because getting to the end with both Heather and Erica is probably a pretty tall ask for him, given his current strategic position. But I do think that this is probably his best shot.
And it's definitely going to be a final three, final tribal, right?
I think so.
Okay, when's the last time they did too, because I remember, was that with that guy Fabio, maybe?
No, it was sooner or later than that. Last time they did, somebody in the chat probably knows. It was at least when Tony beat Wu.
Yes.
They've done it since then. I can't remember.
Why do they do that? Like, stop doing that.
Stop doing Final 2 or Final 3?
Stop doing Final 2. I feel like it's just so random when they do it.
Yeah, I don't like when they randomly do it.
Yeah.
I would prefer that they just permanently go back to a Final 2 personally, but I don't like when they just like, ooh, surprise!
Devin's was fourth place.
Yeah, that was the introduction of the fire making challenge at 4, and then that was still a final.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't remember. Okay. But yes, I would also give Ricard a 6. I really like Ricard. I don't know why some people feel so strongly about him. I don't know. Sorry. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I don't know why some people feel so strongly about him when there really hasn't been much. Like, I do agree that the papaya incident would have pissed me off had I been Shan, but as a viewer, I don't know why some people feel so strongly about it. Weird.
Maybe they just don't have enough
grilled cheese back at camp.
All right. After Ricard, I gave another 6 to Nasir. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't think I've been able to go above a 6 for Nasir. I just feel like his name is still being thrown out there as an option. I love that he still has an idol. I think he's in a better spot overall than Xander, but realistically, it's a pretty similar position. He doesn't seem to have any real end game, long-term paths to work. It seems like Xander is potentially trying to work with Shan and Ricard now, which also seems to be Nasir's path. And ultimately that kind of puts them in a similar position. They both still have idols. I don't know. I hate that. It was really bad, a really bad sign for me that both Danny and Deshaun were talking about wanting him gone as early as this round. It just tells me that he's still continually on the radar and it's not going to change anytime soon. And he doesn't seem to be the kind of player that is actively making moves to change the structure of the game at this time. So, it's not looking like it's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah. I want to give Nasir a 7 because I do agree with you. That is my big thing, that he doesn't even seem like he has the type of personality that he would like notice, okay, this is the spot that I'm in. What are the moves that I can make to change that? I feel like that's more so like Shan's line of thinking or like Xander, but Nasir, I swear, like he fights for his life. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to turn it off of my computer. Like I have it closed, but it won't turn off. I feel like every episode he's like fighting for his life. Like he's killing himself in these challenges. And I love that. So I'll give him a 7.
Yes. Okay. The last 6 I gave this week was to Liana, who it definitely a bounce back from last episode where she did not have a great performance. Attempting to steal that idol from Xander and failing was definitely a bad look for a potential jury. But I do think that she caught some breaks this week with Shan and Deshaun both kind of feuding. And, you know, there are some people like Tiffany who are describing Deshaun as, you know, throwing a fit, which is not usually the kind of person you're going to vote for in the end, if that's how you see it. And there are now other people who are, you know, Tiffany describes Shan as bossy. There are other people like Deshaun, and Ricard who are talking about Shan rubbing them the wrong way, in the way that she talks to them. And that just means that I do think that Liana is catching back up with a chance to win if she does make it to the end with either Deshaun or Shan, which are the people that she seems most likely to get to the end with. I still feel like she has an uphill, hill to climb, in terms of winning a jury vote against either Shan or Deshaun at this point in the game. But I don't hate her position here. And it seems like she's probably in a position where even if the strategic, structure around her crumbles, she could probably step out of it okay. And it might actually be a good thing for her. So, she's kind of the person that benefits most from Shan or Deshaun, or both kind of, imploding.
Yeah. And I can definitely see that happening like literally next episode. So, or maybe not next episode, maybe in like 2 weeks. But I have to give my girl Liana a 7, like DMV native. I'm not going to give her less than that. So, and I feel like she's really trying, you know, even though she did try and fail with the Xander. And I feel like it was obvious. Like, I feel like it was fairly obvious him saying like, yeah, I can only play it for Evie. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Like the only option is to give it to, like, I don't know. I felt like it was very, very obvious what was going to happen. So it's weird that she didn't factor that in. Maybe it's, you know, the lack of food. I don't know, but I'm going to have to give my girl a 7. I love her. So yeah, 7.
All right. Okay. After that, I gave a 7 to Deshaun. Deshaun, I've been very high on Deshaun all season. I've been basically, for me, it's been Shan number one, Deshaun number two, until last week when the Yasa group decided to put votes on Deshaun instead of Danny. For me, that put Danny a little bit ahead of Deshaun in the hierarchy, and he's still kind of there, but we'll talk about that in just a sec. It was another rough week for Deshaun. It was two rough weeks in a row. Losing Sydney last week was not good for him. And this week he struggled to achieve a goal that I didn't even understand in the first place, which is trying to get Nasir out. Ultimately he loses that battle, it seems, to Shan. And then he apparently was not very kind to Tiffany after she wrote his name down, which again seems to imply that Tiffany is not really in a mood to vote for Deshaun in the end if he gets there. He then gets into it with Shan multiple times, once in public. And it seems like he was barely able to hold on to Heather, who seems to be his ideal goat to bring to the end. But he did manage to keep Heather. And I think keeping Heather was worth whatever social capital he lost by sticking his neck out there, as long as Heather is still a loyal enough ally for him. We don't really know because we still know very little about Heather. And so I still like his position. I still really like him as a player. It was just kind of another rough episode and things could really start to go downhill from here, or he could recover and be back into a strong position. But for now, it's a 7.
I just realized by you bringing up Deshaun, you're placing Danny higher than him, but.
Well, I'm going to give Danny a 7 as well.
Okay. Deshaun, I don't know. I feel like I understand Deshaun's personality. So I understand why he's having the issues with Shan that he's having. But I'm not in his camp when it comes to it, but I understand why it's happening, you know? So I'm going to also give him a 7, but I mean, I feel like at this point, like it's more so like part of your personality, and it's going to be a huge like uphill battle for you if you can't like stomach. Like clearly Shan is in the position of power in this entire camp. So if you notice that and now you're trying to like, I feel like there are two ways that people can combat that when you notice that someone's in power. You either tackle it head on, which I always think is the wrong decision, or you try to manipulate the situation to like, you know, be a little sniper from the side. And that's the way that you should have gone about it. Start planting seeds, noticing that she's having like a little bit of tension with Ricard, her closest ally, maybe be like, oh yeah, you know, it's just papaya. Like there's so many of them, like it's fine. Like it's not that big of a deal. Planting seeds with other people and just like slowly chipping away at her until the next vote and be like, you know, maybe it's Shan. I don't know. She doesn't really have any power. Maybe maybe it's her time to go. But arguing with someone in public is just weird in a game like this, especially when it doesn't really make that big of a difference. I wouldn't do it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't All I right. do it?
Well, I, as I said, I also gave Danny a 7 this week. I still really like Danny. The positives about Danny are that he's basically in Deshaun's position, just with a little less baggage, and seems to be a little more likable and is a little less of a target. However, I do have more faith in Deshaun as a strategic player. Overall, he seems to be the one calling the shots more so than Danny. However, that has put Deshaun in a more vulnerable position. So I now have them at a kind of an equal place where it's like there are positives to Deshaun's game, but it also makes him more of a target. There are different positives to Danny's game that make him somebody that could very easily just kind of like, you know, just kind of like sit there, be the more palatable option, you know, between Shan and Deshaun, who doesn't get targeted, wins a bunch of, immunities toward the end, and then wins at the end because he's super likable. So I do think he has that upside, but I'm not sure that he has the maneuvering ability that Deshaun has displayed, because we haven't seen as much of that from Danny. But overall, I'm about the same on them both.
Yeah, I would also give Danny a 7. I wish you could kind of combine them into one player, because I feel like, yeah, Danny's so likable. Like, I love him, but maybe we just haven't seen him, you know, have any confessionals or like do anything.
That is true. We've seen very little of Danny in the last four or so episodes. And they're talking about that in the chat, that apparently he hasn't had any confessionals in the last four episodes, even though we've seen him talk. He hasn't had any confessionals, according to the chat. We might.
It's interesting that they included a little snippet of him being upset about one of the like twists. Mm-hmm. I thought that was weird that they included that in the episode.
Well, apparently it was a big, he'd made a big deal of it on the island, and it was kind of toned down in the edit.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know if it's like, maybe it will become relevant, but it didn't seem like relevant to the storyline. Like, I can understand, especially after watching The Bachelor this season, it seems like if anything happens that anyone's even trying to chip at the fourth wall, it's like, all right, we're going to include it in the edit. So maybe that's it, but it just didn't seem like it added nothing to the plot of the story. So aside from the fact that he was annoyed about a twist, which everyone's always annoyed when a twist isn't like favoring them. So it just, yeah, weird.
They might have included it so that they could include Deshaun defending it in the confessional. If that makes sense.
Yeah, probably.
Because they probably knew that the audience would not be happy. And so they wanted an example of one of the contestants who had affected saying, well, this is Survivor.
I love how he keeps saying, drop the four, keep the one. Like, okay.
Yeah. I want them instead to start saying
grilled cheese.
You're never going to let him let that go.
No. All right. It's just like when he said,
you got to dig deep.
You gotta dig deep.
He's getting a lot of personality this season. What's going on?
Deep for that
grilled cheese.
So, of course, the only person left after Danny is Shan. Now, last week I gave Shan a 9 because I really liked what happened. Like, the outcome was so good for Shan, and it has put her in a position of immense power. And I think we saw the results of that in this episode. She was the one calling the shots. However, this week, I'm going to give her an 8, just a little bit lower than I had her last time. Last time was essentially her rise to power. This is her in power. And there were a couple of small things that are a little bit concerning. Her relationship with Ricard seems to be a little rocky. And the biggest threat to her game, Deshaun, he was weakened last episode, which I thought was very good for her game. This episode, in his weakened state, seems to be upset with her and the power that she holds over him, which is not great. Ideally, he kind of like goes quietly into the good night, right? That doesn't seem to be what Deshaun is going to want to do. So making an enemy of him who, again, seems to be the most capable enemy that she has is not the best thing in the world. But I think she can beat him at this game. I just think that it could be a little rough for her until she does. So for now, I'm going to give her an 8. I think she's still in the absolute best position to win the game. I think that she has a lot of seemingly now detractors who seem to be like, her game's about to blow up. I knew it. Her social game's not gonna, her social game seems to still be incredible. She has so many allies, so many people doing what she wants. She still has an idol and an extra vote. She has a lot going for her right now, despite the fact that it seems like the edit's trying to be like, oh, but what if? It's a little bit of a Tony edit in that way. It could be something else, and maybe she is in for a downfall soon. But in my eyes, given the results of what we're seeing, it does seem like she has a pretty strong hold on the game. And even if it's not as strong as it was last week, or it seemed to be last week, it's still pretty strong, and it's going to take a lot more evidence before I start to feel like things are going to be much worse for her. So still at the top of this game for me.
Yeah, I would definitely give her a 9 for sure. I think, just like you said, like, she has a lot in her arsenal right now. She has an extra vote. She has, you know, an idol. But I think, like, the big thing about that is that she's not, like, waving it around and, like, you know, I have an idol. Like, she doesn't need to, but she also, like, isn't like, oh, if anything happens, like, don't forget that I have an extra vote. If things might not go our way, like, I have an idol that I can play for someone. Like, some people get really into the fact that they have a little bit of safety and just kind of wave it around. And I like the fact that she hasn't done that. And I just feel like the only person who would even think about taking a shot at her, even if she's having like a few issues with Ricard, he definitely wouldn't. I feel like the only person who might is Deshaun. Everyone else is concerned with other people, and she would probably be last, if not second to last, maybe, I don't know, at the very, very bottom of their list. So I feel like she's in the perfect position. She'll definitely probably make it at least top 5, maybe. I don't know. I kind of want to spoil myself. I want to find a way to spoil myself because,
well, apparently, like, we do not discuss spoilers on this podcast. Apparently, there were spoilers that Tiffany was the winner. So they were not correct. So there you go.
Tiffany, I would love to see who even voted. I would love to see the way that the game went that Tiffany wins the majority of anyone's votes. I would love to see that. Just based on her personality alone, I would not vote for her. So, just kidding.
All right. Well, that is the stock watch. We got through the players here. And that's our podcast. We did it.
Did it.
Yeah.
We did it. Well, you did it, but
oh, we did it.
Okay, we did.
Couldn't have done it without you, and definitely couldn't have done it without
grilled cheese back at camp.
Yeah. Or Yoda. Couldn't have done it without Yoda. Yoda.
I also have, I don't know if you, it's harder to see, but I also have Orwell back there.
Who's Orwell?
From that, you know, show that they had a long time ago.
Okay, that show that, like, that the redhead won back in season like 12, and like her and her husband are like so cute.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they like canceled the show after that, right?
Honestly, I feel like they canceled the show after who was that one winner that I really, really liked? Who was it? Oh wait, no, he played twice. He didn't end up winning, right? Second place 2 times. Very unfortunate.
Yes. All right. Well, any final thoughts on the episode here, Kemi?
Honestly, I feel like every episode that they've had so far is like making me like want more. Like, I can't wait until the next episode. But I feel like Survivor always does that. Like, they're so good with just the season, honestly. Every season, I'm just excited for it. You know what season I haven't seen that everyone tells me I should watch? Fiji. I haven't seen that one.
Fiji's an interesting one. It's one of the more unique seasons. I really loved the winner of Fiji. So,
okay.
It's got some great characters for sure.
I'll give it a chance after I finish my third rewatch of How to Get Away with Murder.
I mean, at this point, are you just studying up on How to Get Away with? Is that what's happening? Are you planning to commit a murder?
Allison Grodner, if you're watching this, you better. I'm joking. Just kidding.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you here today for the Survivor Stock Watch. Thank you guys for joining us this week. I'll, of course, be back next week to talk about whatever happens next week. We'll be rating the players again. Kemi, where can people find you? They want to
hang out. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Kisses Kemi. I finally made my way to YouTube, also Kisses Kemi. I don't know. I feel like I want to get into TikTok, but it intimidates me because the moment I get on TikTok, I start scrolling and next thing you know, it's been 3 hours and I'm still watching TikTok. So I don't know if I'll ever make it officially on there, but I watch. So if you guys are on TikTok, shoot me your username so that I can waste more of my life watching everyone else's content.
You also have a swimwear line.
Yes. So my swimwear line, Like Honey Swim on Instagram and Twitter, and likehoneyswim.com.
And there's been a lot of talk recently about Survivor sort of like not allowing their contestants essentially to wear bathing suits and kind of forcing them to be in their underwear. That they should really allow some bathing suits. Maybe you can be an official partner of Survivor and provide all the swimwear.
I would hope. Why wouldn't they let them wear swimsuits? That sounds like
a big thing. Yeah. It's
real perfection waiting to happen.
That's the problem.
Yikes. What? Yeah. Wait, when did that start?
I think it's always been that way. And they're like, this is an archaic thing that they need to change.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, they're like one yeast infection away from a lawsuit, maybe. Yikes.
hopefully they shift things here. Thank you again for joining us. Thank you so much, Kemi, for joining me.
Yes, thank you for having me. Anytime you want me to be on, all you have to do is ask.
Well, it's always a pleasure. You guys can also, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/TerrorArmstrong. I watch these episodes live with you guys. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Thanks again so much for joining us, and I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taren's back to give you deets again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taren and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual sees. Taren's update for Survivor.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.